Thank you, Jeffrey and Gabe. I saw that song and I thought, wow, it just shows that tenderness that we have, that our God's arms will, you know, surround us, and that love. It's the power of the love of God that we are here today. It's the power of the love of God that created the universe. And God has given his love in us from the foundation of the world to be just like he is, a father of love, a father that cannot lie, always tells the truth. And he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all in the power of the love. And I thought, the whole point of this kind of series of teachings is to show how intimate and loving our Heavenly Father is. That he wants to reach into our hearts and be intimately involved in everything that we do. God isn't a person that we come to church and we pull out our Bibles and we put them down, we memorize scriptures. He walks and talks with us. He has a plan for us. Last week we looked at, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I'll do a little synopsis here of what I shared last week, and the teaching is also on the website, on our website, actsnowfellowship.com. But if you turn to Ephesians chapter, we'll start in chapter 1. The whole point of Christianity is a relationship. It's not just rules and regulations, but it's a full sharing. God's given us what he is, spirit. He's given that spirit to stay in us forever. We have eternal life from the moment we get born again, because we will not die. We will fall asleep and we will await the return of Jesus Christ. We will have all eternity. And God can never step away from us. You know, I don't know if any of us could say that, but we never stepped away from someone. And it's a hard thing. But our Heavenly Father just so wants to surround us with his love and grace. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, well, let's look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose us with a plan to be holy and without blame. I don't know if we can be holy and without blame on our own. You know, there's mistakes. I think I've heard a saying that, you know, thank you, God, I've had such a great morning here. I haven't done anything wrong, all this, and I'm looking forward to getting out of bed. Now, you think about a baby that's born, they're precious, and yet they were born with sin because of Adam. So, but God had a plan from the very beginning, Genesis 3:15, that he would send a son, that we would have a redeemer, and the seed of the woman would crush the adversary. And Jesus Christ came, and look at all the people that were in that plan for him to get to the point where he was born in Bethlehem, and then he lived a perfect life. He only obeyed his father. He only did his father's will. He could have done, added to that, I think one of the things I said last week is one of the significance about Jesus Christ is he only did the will of the Father, and he didn't do any more. You know, with us, we always think, well, what about more I could do? And yet, he obeyed the Father, and his words were his Father's words. And he gave us the privilege of the day of Pentecost to be able to do the works that Jesus Christ did and have the power of the name of Jesus Christ. The kids are learning about the power of the name of Jesus Christ this morning. So he has a plan for each one of us. Look at chapter 2, verse 10 of Ephesians. It says, we are his workmanship, or his masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. If you ever think low of yourself, then you're calling God a liar. He chose us to be His masterpiece. We're beautiful. And us women need to realize that. We don't have to give Estee Lauder all of our money. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before the foundation of the world, He determined a plan for us. And I've been reading a book called Discerning the Voice of God by Priscilla Schreier, who was in the War Room movie. She was the realtor. And she makes a statement that our lives are like a box of a jigsaw puzzle. And I have a jigsaw puzzle that Jan Mikas made, and it was, here it is here. And I don't want to show the picture. So it's all these pieces, and that's wonderful. But if I don't have a picture of what those pieces are, then I wouldn't know what it's all about. It was about an intimate birthday party that we had for Bob for his 70th birthday. So these people were in it, and they were people that, from the man that got Bob in the Word, to our children and many wonderful, faithful saints. We've had you all there, the resources. But as the pieces come together, and here's a few pieces, there's a Susie and Jeremy. They couldn't be here today. They had to go home and finish studying for an exam. But God has the picture that all of these puzzles go to. You know, I've attempted 1,000 piece puzzle, and if you don't have that picture, you don't know where, you know, you got black over here, which is really hard. But each puzzle has to have the picture, so that we can see the pieces come together, and our lives are put together with God's master plan. He's the master builder, the contractor, the developer for each one of our lives. And he decided that before we were even born, before we even figured, he even figured out if we were going to be good kids or bad kids. You know, he chose us no matter what we were. So in that plan, one of the great things that he wanted from us is that we know him. We know him intimately. And to know God, you have to take time. And one of some of the things that we did last week is we went over keys to practicing hearing God's voice. And what we're really doing today is looking at being a part of God, being His presence in every bit of our lives. So the key to God being a part of our lives is to put Him first. And we looked at making time to God. You have to make time. Because if you just take time, it probably won't happen. But you have to schedule Him in. Just like we schedule our appointments with a doctor, with the exercise, all this stuff. And we don't miss it. Because if we went to a doctor's appointment, it was at 8 o'clock, we arrived at 9. You know what they're going to say? Tough luck. Sorry. Call us again. We'll schedule in 6 weeks. But when we miss an appointment with God, He's like, don't worry, child. I'm here with you all the time. But if we develop a pattern in our lives of putting God first, how much our lives would change. And that was part of the purpose of last week, is to really develop a relationship with God. Spend time. And in a relationship, we all have Facebook accounts or emails, cell phones. You know, we couldn't possibly leave the house without your cell phone. If you do, you go back and get it. But if you leave your house and forget that you forgot to talk to God, and you go look back home and make up that time, probably not. Because the world wants us to be so busy doing all these things that sound like they're good. I kind of was proud of myself thinking I'm busy all the time, and yet I think that was almost an insult. Because God's got to be the priority, unless you're taking God with you when you're doing your job, and that's what we need to do. We need to take Him everywhere we go so that people can see that light and we can have the understanding that we need to know. Did you get blessed by hearing the manifestations? Yeah. Well, God, you know, He wants to talk to us in a group, and He wants to talk to us individually. He says, call upon Me, and I will answer thee. But the problem with that is the reason why we don't hear from God is we're not listening. I love this here. The words listen contain the same letters as the word silent. We have to close our mouths. If you ever visit with a friend and they have all this stuff they want to tell you and you're just thinking, just stop so I can say all that I want to say, and then you miss the whole point of why they wanted you to see you, because they wanted advice instead of always thinking, well, you know, I got my stories better. We got to sit and listen, and God's got a much better story than we do. And sometimes, and we looked at journaling. I gave everyone a book to journal in. And just, it's developing a habit of spending time with God. If you want to be a part, want to do that, I'm not calling this genie club or the journal club. I don't want you to join it. I want you, just a principle that I want you to take time with God. Prepare a place in your home that's your, where you can sit and not have distractions. We live in a world of mass distractions. That's our battle. And I feel sorry for the young kids today because most of them don't know how to just sit. You go anywhere and everybody's on their cell phones. Go in a restaurant. You've got five people on the table and all five of them have their cell phones on. Or if you don't, we have one that's probably saying, can somebody talk to me? And then we need to expect that God's going to talk to us. He says in, let's look at well, we know God's voice from His Word. We have to study His Word, and then we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that God has said in His Word. But, and we know that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. God knows our voice. We don't have to call out, hey God, this genie, you know, I got a problem. He already knew I had a problem. All He wanted was, He got me on the first word, hi, or hey. That's all He needs, that first word. Once we give Him that first word, He's ready to roll with what we need. And if then we need to listen to what He tells us what to do. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, and then I'm going to share a video with you. Romans chapter 12. See, God has this plan, but if we don't lock into finding out how we're going to walk this walk, we might have a few detours. Detours are distractions. You know, we want to get on the fine line and enjoy what He's got for us. Romans 12:1 says, I'll read it in the NLT. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. You know, we worship God by putting Him first. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want anyone before Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Because we're seated in the heavenlies. We're a heavenly person. It's Christ in us. It says in Galatians that it's not me that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. And that's what we need to look in the mirror. We need to see. It's Christ living in us. And look at the impact. Now, we could be complacent and say, well, you know, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to have 20 minutes with God every day. You can put a regimen in your schedule, but it's not a love relationship. Make it a love relationship. Every word in the Word is written out of love so that we can enjoy that and then we can love others. But we have to love ourselves first. Once you see the power of the love of God, God's love, you're going to start to love yourself more. And then you can love others. Romans 12:2 here. Then we will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When I was 19, I asked my father, how do you know you're doing God's will? And he said, you find out when you die. And that's what started my quest to really know God. Is I'm not going to live another 80 years and figure out, whoops, I didn't quite do it right. And God will meet you where you are. You call upon him, he will answer thee. But the thing is, a couple of verses that I shared last week on hearing, let's look at, well, I'll read this as an NLT of Psalm 85:8 says, I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people. He will speak, but I need to listen with expectancy. And I need to expect that God still wants to talk to me. I haven't done anything wrong. And if I have, it's the adversary telling me, you know, you're going to hear God, and you're going to compare the voice with God's, with the Word of God. You have to cannot be a, contradict the Word of God. Or you're going to hear condemnation. You know, very easy, really, to pick it. If you, those words keep bombarding you, saying, well, I don't, you, I just don't think you can do it right. Is that what God would say? No. So you cross those words out. But right, just take the time to spend talking to your Heavenly Father, because he wants to talk to us. So the problem with not hearing is not listening. So I think what we're going to do right now is play a video. But in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not under your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct your steps, your path. See, that's that trust. So we put God first. We trust him. And then we make ourselves available to hear what he has to say. And we walk, bring him wherever we go. And this video, Al showed me it. He found it and shared it at the Monday Night Fellowship. And it's about someone that wants to hear from God and the experience of it. And I think it's a testimony of how simple it is to just follow the thought that God gives you. And then I was thinking about, I'll share a couple more things, and then if there's anything that you want to share about doing your homework or inspiring us to, or what you've seen in this week about developing more of your relationship. So Al's going to read this video for us. I think just listen to the heart of it. It's pretty cool.
This will give you the chills, good chills. A young man had been to Wednesday night Bible study. The pastor had shared about listening to God and obeying the Lord's voice. The young man couldn't help but wonder, does God still speak to people? After service, he went out with some friends for coffee and pie, and they discussed the message. Several different ones talked about how God had led them in different ways. It was about 10 o'clock when the young man started driving home. Sitting in his car, he just began to pray. God, if you still speak to people, speak to me. I will listen. I will do my best to obey. As he drove down the main street of his town, he had the strangest thought to stop by and buy a gallon of milk. He shook his head and said out loud, God, is that you? He didn't get a reply and started on toward home. But again, the thought, buy a gallon of milk. The young man thought about Samuel and how he didn't recognize the voice of God and how little Samuel ran to Eli. Okay, God, in case that is you, I will buy the milk. It didn't seem too hard a test of obedience. He could always use the milk. He stopped and purchased a gallon of milk, and as he passed 7th Street, he again felt the urge to turn down that street. This is crazy, he thought, and drove on past the intersection. Again, he felt that he should turn down 7th Street. At the next intersection, he turned back and headed down 7th. told me, and he said out loud, "Okay, God, I will." He drove several blocks, but suddenly he felt like he should stop. He pulled over to the curb and looked around. He was in a semi-commercial area of town. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst neighborhood either. The businesses were closed, and most of the houses looked dark, like the people were already in bed. Again, he said something. "Go and give the milk to the people in the street at the house across the street." The young man looked at the house. It was dark, and it looked like the people were either gone or they were already asleep. He started to open the door and then sat back in the car seat. "Lord, this is insane. Those people are asleep, and if I wake them up, they're going to be mad, and I will look stupid." Again, he felt like he should go and get it to milk. Finally, he opened the door. "Okay, God, if this is you, I will go to the door and I will give them the milk. If you want me to look like a crazy person, okay, I want to be obedient. I guess that will count for something, but if they don't answer right away, I'm out of here." He walked across the street and rang the bell. He could hear some noise inside and a man's voice yell out, "Who is it? What do you want?" The door opened before the young man could get away. The man was standing there in his jeans and a t-shirt. He looked like he just got out of bed. He had a strange look on his face, and he didn't seem too happy to have some stranger standing on his doorstep. "What is it?" The young man thrust out the gallon of milk. "Here, I brought this to you." The man took the milk and rushed down a hallway. Then from down the hall came a woman carrying the milk toward the kitchen. The man was following her holding a baby. The baby was crying. The man had tears streaming down his face. The man began speaking and half crying, "We were just praying. We had some big bills this month, and we ran out of money. We didn't have any milk for our baby. I was just praying and asking God to show me how to get some milk." His wife in the kitchen yelled out, "I asked him to send an angel with some. Are you an angel?" The young man reached into his wallet and pulled out all the money he had. On the plate of the man's hand, he turned and walked back toward his car, and tears were streaming down his face. He knew that God still answers prayers. This is a test if you believe that God is alive and well. Send this to all your friends and persons that sent it to you. This is so true. Sometimes it's the simplest things that God asks us to do that causes us. If we are obedient to what He's asking, to be able to hear His voice more clear than ever, please listen and obey us. This will bless you. This is an easy test. You score 100 or 0. It's your choice. If you aren't ashamed to do this, please follow the directions Jesus said. If you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Not ashamed, pass this on. God bless you.
That's our walk. You know, God will talk to us, and if we're not sure, "I don't know, Lord, this sounds awfully crazy. Try it. It's not going to hurt anything." You know, at the home they said, "Well, there's milk." But that's the walk that God wants for each one of us, to be able to hear Him and direct our steps so that there's someone praying for an angel. We could be someone's angel. We could be there at the right time. We met a gal at Woltown that was ready to throw herself in front of a train. We're able to show her that she was more important, that God had a plan for her. She's still alive today. She's in a rehab. And I've developed a relationship with her mom. She's been alcoholic since she was 14 years old, and it really hurts relationships. So she needed someone to bridge that gap, and I was there. It says in God's Word, let's look at a couple verses here. about God's presence. In Psalm 16:11, let's look at that. But can you see how, you know, that was pretty perfect. We ask God, okay, God, I want to hear your voice. And then follow through. He'll never make you look ashamed or stupid. You will feel discouraged if you heard it and didn't follow through. We all have that opportunity, and we'll do that at times. But it's a learning process. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In God's presence is fullness of joy. Don't we want to be in his presence all the time and enjoy that and be that messenger for God, that person that's going to answer that someone's prayer? Recently, I guess it was a year ago, I was FaceTiming with my friend Phyllis, and we were studying the Word together, and her husband came in the room and said that his father was in surgery. And so I said, well, Phyllis, why don't you pray for him? And then as she's praying, I had this thought, the anesthesiologist. Okay, what about the anesthesiologist? And so after she got done praying, I said, Phyllis, this is really weird, but I need to pray for the anesthesiologist. So I started praying, and God said, I prayed for the anesthesiologist that he would be honest. And so we were done, and about 2 hours later, he was in Florida. A couple hours later, they got a phone call saying that the surgery was canceled. Well, they stopped the surgery because they found out the anesthesiologist had given him too much medication. So at that point in time that we prayed, that anesthesiologist must have spoke up and said, that man is 94 years old, he's still alive today. But it's like, it sounded awfully weird. Why do you pray for an anesthesiologist for being honest? And yet, that's what we need to do. We need to follow what God says and change people's lives. Because we're walking and those puzzle pieces are being put together by God. Would anyone like to share? We had some homework this past week, about making appointments with God daily, and structuring your time, listening. Maybe finding a place that would be comfortable to have God in his presence there. I also said to write down any current issues that you have on your heart that you want to receive guidance for. And that's pretty personal. But it's really important that we get specific. And a lot of people say, well, I'm praying about it. Well, okay, that's great. You pray, but that's talking, and what is your response to your talking? That's what we need to see. Are we daily asking God about decisions in our lives? And then I also had recall your recent times of hearing from your Heavenly Father, maybe answered prayers, healings, to write those down. And those things are good. You can put in your journals because God, if God healed you one time, he's going to heal you again. And sometimes we need to go back and see the circumstances that and the, what God did and where you're believing, where your expectation was, and just reminds you, oh yeah, he's not going to forget me. He knows my number. He knows everything I need. So those are the importance of writing things down. And just, I go back to my journal all the time and just read the wonderful words that God has just to bless me. So I thought, and I want to see any response, if anyone's done their homework, I'm not going to give any grades. But yeah, Shelly, you know what? Let's see. I think we're going to use this handheld mic with those, because we're going to be recording too, and sometimes it gets kind of muffled and it's not fun. What's the message?
Can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It didn't sound like you could hear me. Okay. Well, I did not bring my journal with me because I found that as I was writing in my journal this week, it got really personal, and it was really, really personal, and some things, you know, just I don't want to share with everybody, but the thing I do want to say is I was blessed because God is very consistent. When he answers me, he is very consistent in his answer. And the consistency I found was that God tells me over and over and over again, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I don't think there was one time when I was asking God questions or when I was praying for someone or something or some situation that was going on that particular day that I love you was not in God's answer, was part of his answer. And I think that that's just how God works with me. I work with kids, and the thing I know about working with young children is to be consistent. You know, we want to give them consistency. We want our message to them, what I want to teach them, what I want them to learn, what I want to say to them is consistent. I have to have the same consistent message or same consistent lesson in what I'm trying to teach them. And God kind of works with me that same way, too. Like a little kid. The same consistent message. And for some reason this week, what I needed to hear from God the most was that he loves me. So that was just part of what God told me this week. And I was really blessed to be able to just, to make the time to sit down and do this every day. And some days I didn't ask questions, honestly, because at first I was like, okay, sometimes, God, I hear God's voice, and sometimes I see pictures. God shows me pictures of things. And how am I going to write that down? I don't draw. I can't draw. Some days I would just write down the picture God was showing me. I would just write it down. Some days I would just write down. I wrote down like the lyrics to a song that was really on my heart. Or I would just kind of just. It wasn't always just a question and answer thing. A lot of times it was just thanking God for stuff. Right. And but any time that he did respond back to me, I love you was always part of what I heard from him. So I encourage you to journal in your own way. It doesn't have to be a set way to do it. Just like Jamie said, it's just about the relationship with God that you can see developing.
Anyone else? Jeffrey?
Oh, okay.
And this can be something that how God's taught you or showed you something.
Let me just say this. Some people would say who aren't intimately involved with the Father that when he speaks to you, he has to quote from the Bible. No. God can freelance. God can talk to you on the fly or in the moment. And so when I open up that moment of time with my Father, I'm prepared for whatever he tells my heart. So it was simple and short, and I said this. I said, Father, I love you, and am so thankful for all the things you do for my wife and I that we don't even know about, and how your care is so complete. No sooner than I get halfway through this, he's already talked to me. I'm only like, wait, slow down. I'm not done talking to you, Father. But here's what he had to say. He says, I have more for you to do, and things I want you to do. Just keep listening to your Father. I will guide you. Remember, my ways are not your ways, and my steps are not your steps. Just follow me.
Yeah. Huh? You don't have to necessarily read what your journal is. You can, but if you want to just share how, just thinking about making time, how that's been.
What I do this way, I don't do it every day, but I praise the Lord when I do. I see the benefits, but I still, a lot of my days, I just start out,
right now, Father, I love you. So I go, gee, I'm in the neck of heart.
Love you.
And then I say, Jesus, I love you. And then whatever's on my heart, I praise your name. I thank you for life, for what you've done for me, that I'm alive. I'm well. And just everything you've provided and blessed me with. And just talking to him is just so fabulous that I abbreviate. A lot of words I abbreviate. But this one here is really cool. I've been reading it when I miss my day to journal. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you for everything. Thank you. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of power, love, grace, and mercy. I'm thankful for a day at home. No laundry. No chores today. Nobody's here. I can just have time with you. Thank you. Thank you, God.
And this is what he said to me.
You are my beloved child. You are innocent and lovely in my eyes because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Rest in my love. Grace. Rest in my love. Rest in my grace. Rest in my peace today. It is yours. Feed upon me in my word. I will heal you and direct your every step. So again, be at peace. Know I live in you and we are together today, tomorrow, and forever. I love you. So I abbreviate.
That's great. Beautiful. Dan?
Jean's been talking about the journaling and taking time to listen to God. She has, we've talked about different things, and Jean says, gosh, you've got a lot of neat things. You've got to make sure that you take time to listen to God, because I can talk a lot. And I hear that laugh. But am I also listening to God? So on that particular note, something to share that will combine that point. I recently came back from a trip from New York and North Carolina, and I had gotten off the airplane like at 10 o'clock at night back there, visited with Monsignor in Buffalo, New York. I didn't get to the hotel until like 1 o'clock in the morning, and there was a manager there that they knew I was coming, and I tried to have like a little gift or something that I make for the manager. So I had made... these are little keychains. If you can see, there's a little heart in there. It's something that I make and I use with the kids in school. They sand it and they get the image of what's there. Here, that happens to be a horse, a stallion. So the hotel manager has a daughter, and she wanted a crow, a black crow, for her daughter. Black crow. But it takes hours to make something. The finer it is, the more detail it takes. So I made two black crows. So 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm coming to the hotel, and there's the hotel manager and the assistant manager, and what I thought was the hotel manager's daughter. And I said, look, I want you to know, before I came, I spent hours and hours making this for you and for your daughter. And I'm assuming the daughter is the helper behind the counter. So I hand them the black crows. And come to find out, without me knowing it, the daughter, age 23, had died. The lady behind the counter was a friend who was sort of becoming a daughter. Well, they were all quiet. I'm handing the crow. The daughter's not there. She's dead. And in this moment of silence, talked about listening to God, without skipping a beat, and I didn't say, gee, sorry to hear that, which normally you would do, and I thought I should say something, but the thought that popped into my mind is a picture of the hotel manager, the assistant manager, and this girl who's like a daughter, standing a little ways off behind the counter. And I told him, I said, look, there was this minister who had been in seminary, and he church for a number of years. But in the back of his mind, he always remembered a sin that he had committed. I'm telling them this. And they're listening. The phone didn't ring. Nobody came and interrupted. And I said, the minister heard about a woman in the church who talked to God. He didn't believe it. But he said, well, maybe she does. So the minister said, maybe I'll talk to this woman. So one day at the church, before leaving, in a Midwest town, true story, with the minister said, you talk to God? Yes, elderly lady. Yes, I talk to God. She has the passion like Paula has. And I just picture the imagery. So I'm telling these people the story. And he said, oh, you talk to God? Well, ask him what the sin was that your minister, your pastor, committed many years ago. And she nodded her head. So all that week, everything's happening. Next Sunday, the minister, he sees the woman out in the congregation, says goodbye to the people, and she's the last one in line. Again, I'm telling this to the people there, the dead daughter. And the minister said, did you talk to God this week? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Did he answer you back? Yes, yes, yes. Did you ask him the question about your minister, your pastor? Yes, yes, I did. What did he say? And the woman turned to the pastor and said, he said, I don't remember. Right, I don't remember. I said that, I pounded the counter, woke everybody up, and then they were listening. But the lady behind the counter, who's acting as a daughter, jumps and says, wait, I get it. He forgets, he perfectly forgets. He doesn't remember. The assistant manager turns to Teresa, the mother of the dead daughter, and says, see, God's not keeping a tally sheet. And the mother had said, with tears at this point, that she had changed her life around. I didn't ask. It wasn't important that I know. That was my time to shut up in that regard. It wasn't important that I know what happened. But that she, behind the counter, was now the adopted daughter who got the black crow, and Teresa, the hotel manager, who got the second black crow. And when they heard that, God doesn't remember. Meaning he perfectly forgives, perfectly forgets. And I didn't get into theology. I didn't open the Bible. I didn't say God said, no, I told him this story that jumped in my head because I got quiet enough at 1 o'clock in the morning to listen to what God said. And after that, the phone rang. But during that whole time, the phone never rang. I don't remember. And then I left and went to my hotel room and had a very good night's sleep. So, but that was, you got to pinch yourself and say, look, what Jeannie had said, Dan, you got to make sure you take time to listen as well. Because, you know, we got 2 ears, 1 mouth. Sometimes I have like 5 mouths and 1 ear. So, that's what happened. I don't remember.
That's great. Thanks, Dan. Kelly, did you have something you want to share? We'll close here. But I encourage you to really make God your first priority in your life and practice his presence in everything that you do. Because he is so great.
Yeah. So journaling is something that I've done for a very long time, but haven't necessarily been consistent with it. The one thing I have been consistent with is getting quiet. I particularly like the car ride. You get to choose how noisy it is in there. And recently, probably starting sometime in July, I started like really writing again. But I like to separate my journals out, and this one is only what God says to me. Mm-hmm. And I wake up every morning, almost. It's been almost every morning, and he just has something for me every single time, and I just write it down. Sometimes it's things I need to know for me, or things that he's thinking about and what he wants to do with me. Sometimes it's about other people. And that's fun, because then when I get that, I get to ask about why. Why do I know this? And sometimes it's for prayer. There's nothing I can do in that situation, but he needs intercessors. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's because I can work in that situation, and he can work through me, and we can see things come to pass. And there's been 2 things, actually, very recently that have come up that I actually would like to share. I don't always have my journal with me, so my notes works really well. notes app. If you don't have it, you should. There's been many times, and I'm sure a lot of you have experienced this too, where you're in a situation and you feel like you're picking up on stuff, and maybe you don't fully understand it, but something's not sitting right with you, or you feel like you need to stop and pray about it, or speak in tongues, or whatever. And you have people next to you who are like super pumped in this situation and are just having a grand old time. And sometimes I'm just like, what am I missing? Or like, is it me? Am I the one freaking out? Is it just me having a bad day? And God spoke this to me. It said, to view something differently than another believer does not necessarily mean that you were not on the same page and that you were not like-minded. We are members in particular, and God works in us differently to see things in a situation. And sometimes when one person perceives really great things and another person perceives the same things concerning, it's because of what the Holy Spirit is showing them within the situation and as far as what they need to know, not just what is going on. So, as a member in particular, I am called to certain things. And if I am in a situation and there's someone else who is listening to God and is doing their part, for example, let's say you have someone who's going through something. They don't need someone to just drag them through the mud and pray with them and all that. They also need someone to have fun with them. They need someone who can just remind them of all the great things and help them relax. But we can't be the one for everybody. We can't be the whole thing for an entire situation. And so just because what I'm seeing in a situation is completely different from what's happening with someone else, it doesn't mean we're not on the same page. It doesn't mean that we're not working together. It doesn't mean that we're not both listening to God. It's that He is showing us what we need to know for that situation so that we can do our part. Because we are a part of the body, and I'm not the whole body. So I'm not supposed to do everything. And my tiny brain can't handle knowing everything. I don't need to know everything. So that was really, really cool. And I feel like it's an important thing to mention and keep in mind so that we don't have schisms. Or we don't have, even on a minor level, between two believers. It doesn't have to be an entire group. But how easily can that happen? Because you get frustrated that you are handling something or seeing things one way and other people are not. So that was really cool for me, and it opened up some opportunities to talk to some people. The other thing that was really cool, and this actually is extremely recent, Friday I was, you know, having a moment, and my moments generally involve hiding in my room and yelling, whether internally in my brain or out loud, but God hears it and that's it. And I just fell asleep after, you know, I was just like talking about all these things. I was like, I don't get it. Like, why am I still waiting? Like, this seems like we were working on something and then all of a sudden it was just gone. Just gone. And I'm like, I don't know. Why is this sudden pause here? So I wake up in the morning and I immediately hear in the kindest tone, in my brain, I'm not actually talking yet, but it's God, and He just like, speak kindly to me. Remember that I'm your dad, and I do a lot of really awesome things for you. And He continued on from there, but I was just like, oh, yes, you're right. I'm sorry I'm having a moment. I'm done. Let's keep going. But He was just so loving in it. The tone was amazing, and that was very cool. So it's been a huge blessing to do this.
That's great. Awesome. Yeah, He wants to work within us, to willing to do it if it's good pleasure, and we're available, right? We've got our ears, two ears to hear, and our mouth that we can just wait for Him to tell us what to do next. But we are the conduit that God needs to bless the world. So that's really what I wanted to share with you. And I hope you will continue to pursue this and get a thought and just follow through with it. And one more verse that I'll just quote is, come before thy presence with thanksgiving. In God's presence, we must have full thanksgiving and realize that He certainly loves us. So God bless you. Oh, let me pray. So, thank you. Father, I thank you that you just so love us, and the power of your love is amazing, and it brings us from this natural world into a supernatural world where we can listen to you and do the things that you want us to do to help those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, those that are hurting. We just are here to enjoy this journey with you and putting those puzzle pieces together. So I thank you for talking to each one of us this week and for ears open to hear. Lord, we are listening, and thank you for your word just becoming alive and real in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.